Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, my name is Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is manager Jacob. We're kicking things off with, what are you eating or drinking?
Okay, week? I haven't actually eaten it, and I haven't drank it.
Okay, so why are you talking about it?
It could be a little bit of both, because I've had it on my mind for the last, probably month, and I haven't done it. I need to eat chili, like...
I hate chili.
Oh, it's a bad Sarah, take. Every time I bring something up, all of a sudden, you're just like, you know what, I don't like that.
I mean, I'm a relatively picky eater.
What is it about chili? The beans?
Maybe. No, I don't like the chunks of tomato. I'm not a big tomato girl.
If you're not into the chunks of food, chili is like probably the worst
chunky
thing.
That my friend Nico used to make chili for Friendsgiving every year, but then he kept noticing no one would eat it. I'll eat chowder. But that's like of my people. Chowder is my people.
An East Coast thing?
I have to.
Okay.
It's different. So where are you getting chili from?
Well, I'm going to make it. So I'm going to go pick up the supplies after this recording to make some chili. We're recording this a little bit later. It's probably dinner time right now. So I'm going to be eating like at probably 11 p.m. chili by the time
it's simmers. Do you make enough that you have it for a few days?
That's the best thing about chili, you know? Put it in the freezer. Wow. Keep it in the fridge. Eat it tomorrow.
Does Haley like chili?
This is why I don't eat it. Because she hates it.
Okay, well...
You and Haley should hang out and have a chili Haley
party. Haley should hang out. She's got good taste.
What about you? What are you eating and drinking?
I've been eating shared small plates. So I just got back from Montreal. Okay. And I always eat really good when I'm in Montreal. But specifically, they love sharing food. Like, small plates. And like seemed like every restaurant I went to, that was the vibe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the first night I was there, I had Indian food, which is all like shareable, which was so yummy. Then the next night, it was this place called Stem Bar, which like we tried to Google what type of restaurant it was, and it just said modern fresh cuisine, so whatever. Okay. It's just like food.
Generic.
But it was really good, and it was all shareables. And then the next night, I went to a Lebanese restaurant, which was all shareables.
And how many of you were there?
4, 2, 3, and then the last day was brunch. We went to dim sum, and there was six of us. So I ate different cuisines and different shareable cuisine every single day I was in Montreal, and it was amazing.
Oh,
I would recommend any of the spots, so go watch my vlogs if you want.
I do love the small plates, especially sharing. If you have more, two people sometimes can be hard, admittedly, because then you end up ordering
and
so
you don't
many
know how to
things.
Do it. Yeah, Kate and I did 2 orders because we didn't want to overdo it.
And then the worst is if it's just 2 of you and you order something that one of you doesn't like, and then you've got to be the champion that eats it all.
Really? No, you just like be honest with people and tell them that you don't like the food. That's what I do. That's why I react like that
but
way
if
to chili.
You want something so bad and they just want a bite of it. I did that once with escargot toast.
You liked it or they wanted
I
it?
I liked it, yeah. And then I ate this whole rich snail toast.
Interesting.
What about what you are reading or watching this week?
Hopefully by the time this goes out, I'm reading all the books that I got for Christmas because I'm impossible to buy for. And the only thing that I asked for was books. I sent everybody in my life books, all these series. I'm going to start Thorn of Glass, which is the series that's written by the same author as A Court of Thorns and Roses, and it kind of lives in the same universe. So I'm looking forward to all of the array of books, hopefully. And then if I didn't get all the books I want for Christmas, then I will just buy them all on Boxing Day. So I don't know what I'm going to start yet, but the stack of books I'm hoping to have in my apartment.
Oh, that's a good one. And especially in the week off in between Christmas and New Year's, which we are in the direct middle of right now.
If I don't get like 5 books done in that week, it's a waste of the end of the year.
It's a good time to curl up on the couch and read a book. Maybe I'll read a book.
Maybe you'll finish one of the 10 that you have started. What about you? What are you reading or watching?
Okay. For me this week, it's watching...
More Christmas movies?
No. A couple episodes ago. It's after Christmas. Christmas movies are done for me. I'm reading.
You're hard out on the 25th, but you start like October 31st.
I'm hard out on Christmas movies on the 24th. The 25th, then I'll start. It'll be like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, that kind of stuff.
Okay, sorry. I did not mean to
interrupt you. But no, I went all the way back to what you had recommended, the Netflix movie, May, December.
I watched it.
Yeah, I watched it. Okay, I was so thankful that we just talked about this in the podcast and I had not really heard about it at all.
Yeah.
Because I went into it knowing absolutely nothing, not even knowing that it was kind of based on a true story.
Yeah, I didn't give you any context for it.
And it was good. I liked it a lot.
It was good. It makes you sit in it though.
Amazing, but yeah, it was uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable is the best way to describe it.
It is an uncomfortable like 2 hours plus of just being like, oh, not this. But amazing performances. It's kind of a story that's told in an interesting way.
Yeah,
right?
it's kind of meta the way that it's like about an actor that's coming to cover, like do research for a movie that she's going to be in, but then the movie itself. So.
And that structure kind of helps like with the uncomfortableness
because
you don't really know what everyone's motives are until the movie kind of develops a little bit.
Did you like the ending? How it's kind of left like nuanced?
I did and I didn't. I didn't because it made me more uncomfortable and there was no like satisfying payoff where there was like, I guess, retribution
or
for
like
certain things
or
a solution.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like you understand why it's done that way.
Yeah. And then when I only found out that it was kind of based on a true story after having finished it, and then I was like, oh, well, this just is not something.
When you watch it knowing it's kind of based on a true story, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm so happy you watched it and took my recommendation. Now you need to watch Little Women because I've been talking about that forever.
I know. I was thinking about that today.
You're like, oh, Sarah's going to bring
it up.
Actually,
when you mentioned that they go through 2 Christmases in the movie, I was like, maybe that's...
It's a Christmas movie.
Maybe I should check it out.
Anyways, what are you listening to?
Okay. Think Later. Tate McRae's new album.
Which, are you about to do a PSA about how you are an OG Tate McRae fan? Because everybody's obsessed with her.
I guess
suddenly.
I have to do that. I have been obsessed with Tate McRae's music.
Music.
Forever. I'm an OG fan, for sure.
Yeah, because
I think
she's been
like
a TikTok girly forever.
I think that I even, way back on our pop singer draft, I think, I don't know.
Oh yeah, you did say Tate McRae.
I think I took Tate McRae. Because I'm like, if Tate McRae's not on my team, I don't want a team at all. I don't want to be in the league. So anyway, Think Later. It has banger after
banger. It has
banger.
Bangers.
It is great start to finish. It feels like there are 1,000 songs on it. It's a long album.
Yeah. And she just like announced it and dropped it a month later. I love when that happens. I'm so impatient.
Yeah, exactly. And there are like uppers. There are downers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Oh, Guilty Conscience. Oof.
That's a good
Conscience
song.
is maybe my favorite.
I've also been listening to Tate McRae's album, but also she's BFFs with Olivia Rodrigo. Did you know that? They're a little duo. They're a little like Gen Z millennial.
Guts,
not millennial.
The Grammy nods.
They're a Gen Z duo. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Anyways, so they're like BFFs, but I've listened to a lot of Olivia Rodrigo and Zach Bryan because those are my next 2 concerts that I'm going to that I know of.
Okay.
I go to a lot of last minute concerts, but my next 2 concerts that I have tickets to are both in March and they are Zach Bryan and Olivia Rodrigo.
That would be a wild collab.
That would be a wild collab.
You know what?
It could happen. It's not out of the realm of possibility because she covered a Noah Kahan song. They're all in the same universe.
I know, right? Yeah.
They're kind of all like Gen Z music in my brain, you know? Maybe... I'm going to feel old at Olivia Rodrigo, though. Like, I'm going to feel it.
Yes. Are you going to bring
bracelets? Is that a thing they do at Olivia Rodrigo concerts too?
Probably.
At all concerts, do they do that? Yeah. Maybe.
It's just you.
It's just me bringing up bracelets. Anyways, I'm listening to the two of them.
Okay, those are good ones.
Yeah, they're both good.
Great albums from this past year too, or last year. Sarah, somewhere you went this week?
Well, once we recorded this, I just got back from Montreal. Anyways, so sorry to all you French listeners. Yeah, my French is horrendous. I tried to order in French multiple times, and I try, and my friends would laugh at me. Anyways, the education system in Ontario failed me and the French system failed me. All to say is, went to Montreal, had a great time. The weather was beautiful. It was sunny every single day. And I think it was
because that's of rare me. For Montreal I know. In like the early winter-ish time. I think it
was
because time.
Of me. Apparently the weather was trash before I got there. Anyways, I was there for work for the first part of the trip. So I was there for a work trip for the Olympic Summit, which is really exciting because I got to talk to all these athletes, some athletes that are followers of the vlog, which was really fun. Yeah. Gave me some street cred with my colleagues, which was really funny. And then I stayed to stay with Kate and Daniel. And I love it staying with your friends when like they're a couple and you're staying and it's like you're their child.
Yeah.
Like Daniel would make me coffee and smoothies every day. And like Kate would organize the day and what we were doing for dinner. And I literally just like
bopped you show them around. Your homework or something.
Like, that's what it felt like. And like, it was very wholesome. I had such fun. A fun time. It was really, it was a very good trip. It just like perfect right before Christmas, like kind of like get my brain relaxed and chill the fuck out before it's about to be like a really crazy time of year.
Okay, that's good.
How
that's
about
good.
You? Where'd Somewhere you go?
I went. Okay. My sister Emma, who we everyone Emma, knows the out. Origin story of me reaching out to Sarah. Emma put me on to Sarah.
We love Emma.
Emma's in a choir here in Toronto called the Annex Singers, and they had really? Like a Christmas concert at, I'm gonna blank on the name of the church, but it was big. It was packed, actually. Like
that's,
the audience
wait,
was
that's
out
so
there.
Cool.
I know, and it was like this wholesome kind of moment. It wasn't a full-on, like, it wasn't a Christmas concert. There was only one like Christmas tune in the entire show. Everything yeah. else, like, they did this theme based on kind of marginalized communities,
yeah,
and all of the music was based on kind of that theme, and it was really, really good. Like all of the entire choir,
shout out
was,
Emma, was that's fantastic. Sick.
There was an accordionist who was like,
oh, I love that.
came in and played
authentic,
yeah, grand piano, full on organ. I was sitting there being like, wow, okay, this is pretty cool. And then there was actually a fan at one point. I thought I was tripping out because there was a fan that was kind of making the lights flicker. And I was like, whoa, this is kind of like a little bit of an organ rave,
yeah.
choir rave happening
choir
at the moment.
Choir rave.
But it was really good. It was fantastic. And shout out Emma.
Shout out Emma. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what about something you did?
Okay, Sierra, listen, Jacob. I think it was 3 years ago I got my Peloton bike, probably to the exact day, December 27th.
And did you finally use it? Is that what you did? Did you sell it?
No, I didn't sell it.
Okay.
I'm back on my Peloton grind is what I'm doing. Grind. Yeah, I'm trying to keep my streaks alive. And
you
want to
do a triathlon eventually, don't you? Is that part of like why you're back?
Maybe. So we got the cottage and I'll be swimming then and then we'll be cycling. Yeah, but no, maybe it's just historically over the last 3 years because I got the Peloton like around Boxing Day that I'm like, you know what? Let's hop back on the horse and let's get this pony riding. Okay. Is that a weird thing to say? Maybe. I
would
know.
Love to know how many people have sold their Pelotons in the past year.
Probably a lot. Even. I also own Peloton stock and lost like 96%
of it. So. Oh my God. I was this close to buying one in the pandemic. I almost gave in and I'm glad I didn't.
You shouldn't. You know what? Yeah. That was like the founder. Did you see that article way back when? The founder or ex, well, the founder, but ex-CEO. Took like he starts his day by taking like 60 sips of water out of his hands from his bathroom sink. I should have known not to buy the stock when I read that.
When that was the person in charge.
What about you, Sarah? Something you did this week?
So, my company does not let us fly places that are a drivable distance or a distance in which you can take the train.
Oh.
So I took the train from Montreal.
Had you done that before?
When I was 13 years old, I went with my mother to see Lady Gaga in concert in Montreal. Okay, so the beginning of my train journey, loved the legroom. Loved the free... I was in business class because, you know, business. Loved the free wine. Food tastes like airplane food. I would have expected a little bit more because, you know, we're on the ground. We're not flying. There's, like, really no excuse.
Did you do the route that stops in Ottawa or did you do the direct?
It was the more direct.
So, like, 5 hours?
It was only 5 hours. Okay. Yeah. So, that one, it stops in, like, Cornwall and Kingston and stuff like that. The first couple hours, I did all my work. It was amazing. I'm listening to my music. I'm like, oh, my God, the train is amazing. Then some stuff happened on the train. One, I walked into a man in the washroom by
Oh, accident. No.
So that derailed me. I was like, what is happening? Like,
Oh, no.
I open the door and he goes, he just yells. He goes, ah, the door wouldn't lock. I just slammed the door. And then he like leaves, whatever.
Was he like in a vulnerable position?
No. He was fine. Okay. I think because the door couldn't lock, he couldn't really be one. Yeah. And then whatever, he leaves. And then it turns out he's just an idiot because the door locked perfectly fine. So I don't know what he was doing. So that just threw me for a loop. That's about the halfway point. Once I had about, because it's a 5-hour ride, once I had about 90 minutes left in the train ride, I really started to feel the me sitting there being like, if I had flown, I'd already be in my bed by now. You know what I mean?
I get that.
And I know people go, well, you go to the airport 2 hours ahead. No, you don't. It's a domestic flight. And I have Nexus.
Especially if you're flying Billy Bishop.
And if I'm flying Billy Bishop to the island, I walk home in 5 minutes. So, look, I liked my train experience. I had a good experience. It was on time, which everyone was shocked by. So I had a great Via Rail experience. But if I go back and forth to Montreal in the future and it's on my own, like
fly?
I will fly.
What about getting, what time did you get home?
10 p.m.
Okay, what about getting off the train 10 p.m., your bag's with you. You walk into Union Station.
It was like, it's fine.
I romanticized the train.
Okay, that's what a lot of people do because everyone's like, I love the train.
It's easier. You know what? I feel like if it had been snowing, a soft little flurry or something, you would have been like, this is amazing.
Also, maybe if it was like during the day. So my colleagues that took, my colleagues that took the train to Montreal all hyped it up and had a great time. They all chatted. They got work done. I think I could vibe with that train experience. But on the way home, I drank a little bit too much wine, and then I was sitting there sad that I wasn't in bed.
So. Okay, you got to time the wine a little bit better.
A little bit better. That was a rookie mistake. Our next guest and I have been following each other on TikTok for 3, maybe even 4 years at this point, because it's like 2024, basically. And this is our first time finally meeting. So please welcome Caitlin to the pod. How are you? It's so nice to finally meet you in person. I feel like we've like watched each other's lives and chatted forever.
I know. It's crazy. I think you were probably one of the first 5 people I followed on TikTok.
First 5? Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure. You were like,
wow.
Definitely first 10.
I'm honored.
So you were one of the very first people before I even started posting content.
Oh my God. So we're going to dive all into that. So like, cause that's what I was curious about. Like what came first? I think most people wouldn't realize like what came first, the coffee or the content, but for you, it was the coffee that came first, right?
Yeah. Coffee started in October, 2019.
So what made you start your brand and tell us all about it?
Yeah. So my dad actually, he's the GOAT, Papa Street Brew. Yeah. He's in some content. He's even got a following of his own now.
I love that.
He always says he's the famous one. So it's always great when people come and they like know who he is. So that's fun. But he started roasting coffee just as a hobby. He got bored when he retired, so he's like, I'm gonna have some fun and learn how to make good coffee. And he and I could always like talked about starting a coffee company, but it was like a pipe dream kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I went to school in Virginia, so I was down in the US for 4 years, and when I came home, it was just before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But it was like hard to start finding a job, like
there was
already not a lot of jobs out there. So I got rejected from what I thought was like my dream job at the time. I used to be a pastor. It was a very big pastoring job. And my dad was like, all right, let's give this coffee thing a go. And I was like, I don't know. I was like really hesitant about it. But I was like, you know, I'm in my 20s. I'm not always going to have the opportunity to build a company with my dad.
For sure.
And give this dream a go. So I was like, all right, if this fails, I can get another job when I'm older. So let's give it a go now. And the rest has been history.
So then where did the content brew out of? So like when was like, cause you just said like you were on the platform before. So was it like TikTok as a platform really like inspired you to start making content, and what really gave you the push to start doing it?
Yeah. So it was all the pandemic.
Yeah.
I actually started posting content probably like late 2020, but my whole goal was going viral. Like I'd seen all these videos from people, all these small businesses that were like, I blew up on TikTok and made millions of dollars. And I was like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, for your business.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Well, you probably have to, like, especially when you're selling coffee, you kind of have to get that in front of people and have them taste it and whatnot. But then also, like, where do you find the consumer if we're in the middle of a pandemic at the same time, right? So you got to get creative with the marketing. Is that kind of how it all kicked off?
Well, so we did in-person events. So we did the CNE, the Markham Fair, all that kind of stuff right up until the world shut down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in 2021, we lost 55 events. that we were scheduled to do. So overnight, we lost 99.9% of our customers because we couldn't meet them in person. So one of my friends sent me another coffee influencers video and was like, you should post videos like this. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of our current customers were looking for like coffee tutorials and tips on brewing better coffee at home. And I was like, okay, I think I can offer some tips and some advice here. And yeah, then I switched from trying to go viral to teaching people how to make coffee. And it's where I found my home on TikTok.
And it's like, I love that you pointed that out, because like, I think the biggest misconception is like the going viral, whereas like actually as a business, the better idea is to like build a community, which is 100%. Like what you've done now, because now you have people that like will go out of their way because they know that you're at this pop-up or something, because it's the community, as opposed to just like a viral video feels great at the moment, you have millions of views or whatever, but then it's like no one actually knows who you are. They don't know who Caitlin is and why that you're like, why.
And if you're offering them something, like if you're offering them tips of how to get better at brewing coffee themselves, it's something that they can come back to and you know, continually experience with your brand, as opposed to going viral, which is like, okay, you saw something, millions of people saw something, but there was no value there for them, right? You also do lives. Right. That's just like, talking that's about my this favorite before. Thing
that you do. It's so, I love it. Well, because like that's how like I started following you, is because like in the evenings or like in the mornings when you were like doing your lives, like you can just like set up the phone and like you're just talking about coffee. You're giving people advice on like if they want to like brew something, or like I just found it so like educational, but also just like relaxing. It's like you're just watching like, or like listening to a podcast. It feels like the same thing in the background. Is that where you've like found the most community building has been, through the live?
That's been huge. Yeah. Doing live streams. During the pandemic, I did 2 lives a day. So I go live every morning and every night, just going hardcore on lives. And that was like the peak growth of TikTok. So you'd go live and you'd gain thousands of followers. The beauty of TikTok live streams. So that was amazing. Then we started doing lives from our coffee pop-ups. I don't know if you've seen those.
Yes.
And our best one, we had like 500,000 people tuning in. And it's like, damn, that's a lot of
people.
And
it's like two birds on stone. They're just like, you're doing the pop-up anyways. Yeah, you just serving customers.
We'd have people literally find us on the live, get in their car, and drive 2 hours to the pop-up.
Okay, this is something that I wanted to talk to you about too, because there is a difference, and maybe I think maybe you're selling yourself a little bit short though at the same time, because it's not just, you know, people are interested in watching someone serve coffee. Like anyone can probably make a cup of coffee and serve it to someone. But you also have such an infectious personality when it comes to positivity and building the community. But then, yeah, like you said, there are people that will come from hours away to come and just meet you, basically,
it's
right?
It's crazy. So it blows
my mind. Does that happen often?
Yeah, so this past year, we had people from Germany come to a pop-up.
Wow.
People from the UK come to pop-ups, all over the US driving up for pop-ups. Our last pop-up last week, we had someone drive 2.5 hours to come get a coffee. So like weekly, there's just people coming from all over the world, which is, it blows my mind. So now we have a thing. If you come from like out of country, we give you free coffee to go back with, like a free bag of coffee. Just a little incentivization.
So okay, I find it so fascinating that you were saying like what you thought was your dream job was like being a pastor at this. So would you not like say that maybe you've actually created like your own sense of like community, like through this coffee culture? Because I feel like that's a lot of I would assume a lot of parallels. Like at its core, you're still creating community, engaging with the public service, you could say, and also like making people happy and giving them like hope and stuff. Like, are those all parallels that you find every day in like your new dream job?
Yeah, 100%. So I wanted to go into ministry. That's what I went to school for. I worked in ministry for 4 years, long before this, but coffee is my ministry now. And like, I kind of say every day, my goal is to make someone smile. I want to just wake up. I want to spread good vibes, put smiles on people's faces. And I'm able to do that through coffee. So just spreading joy. I'm putting my heart and soul in every single cup that I make. Like every single person that comes to my coffee trailer, I want them to leave with a positive experience. And that just, it builds that community and it makes people feel special. Like even when the lines are long, I take that time. If someone wants to take a selfie or they want to share a story with me, like I do my very best to make sure every person has a special interaction and leaves feeling known and seen. So yeah, coffee is my ministry.
Well, you also have a bit of a catchphrase too, right?
Because
not just everyone leaves with a smile, but they also leave, like, they're greeted with "my friend" too, right? Like, what's the story behind that?
Everybody asks and I don't know. Ironically, I do not know.
That's like me saying, "Hey, my name is Sarah." Everyone asks why I did it and I go, "I don't know. I needed to introduce myself."
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I posted my first pop-up vlog probably September of last year. And I didn't even know that I was saying it. And then in the comments of that vlog, everyone was like, oh my gosh, like, that is so cool. I love how you call everyone my friend.
It was just like natural. Oh, yeah. But that makes it even better, because then it's like bred out of like just pure authenticity. Like, you were doing it anyways, regardless of if the camera was there or not, if you didn't even realize. As we mentioned at the beginning of the, I almost call this the beginning of the vlog. As we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we've been following each other for a long time, but you've really had like exponential growth in your community building, I would say, in the last year. What do you think was the difference maker in this past year? And when did you notice that something hit different?
I think honestly the coffee trailer, being able to launch that. So we didn't launch the coffee trailer. This was our second full year with it.
Yeah.
So just having a place where people could come meet us every week, mm-hmm. Has been a game changer, because it's, you know, we get the same customers week after week after week, which is amazing. So I think that, and so much of social media is being authentic and bringing people in. So the live streams on the coffee trailer, just making people feel like they're a part of your journey. And I think kind of even going back to what Jacob was saying, I discovered, I guess, how much of an impact I was able to have on people, mm-hmm. and how being positive like was literally changing people's lives in a weird way. And I kind of leaned into that strength, if that makes sense. Yeah. I kind of, I guess, found my voice and who I was and what I wanted to do with my content. So it's just been a real shift of bringing people in and trying to make people feel happy and stuff like that for my content.
Have you had like a pinch me moment in the past year?
Ooh. The TikTok pop-up. So we did a coffee pop-up at TikTok's head office.
That's really cool.
And that was amazing. That was like, frick yeah. Started making TikToks in 2021 in my kitchen. And now we're here at the TikTok Canada head office. Want to get to the TikTok New York office. That's a goal.
I bet you they have some nice coffee machines at the TikTok New York office too. New York offices are always that like elaborate. Right?
Yeah, but I also feel like you maybe have the nicer machines. Machines than everyone else as well.
They'll have like some auto drip machine or something. Yeah, that's true. I got them. I got the best.
Not an auto drip machine with an espresso.
Like some pod machine, yeah.
That's actually, I don't ask for a lot of things for Christmas. The one thing I asked for was like a proper coffee machine.
Let's go.
I don't know where
are
I'm going
to. Are we talking like an espresso machine?
Like a proper espresso machine. No, he did say espresso. It sounded like an espresso. Yeah. Proper like espresso machine. Where I got to do like the milk thing.
Let's
and
go.
I got you might have to come over to teach me how to use
I'm
it.
There.
If I get
I'm
it.
There.
Or it's going to be my Black Friday. Not Black Friday. We are on Boxing Day. It'll be my Boxing Day purchase. So I'll definitely send you a message.
Era of the vlog.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know how that's going to go though, guys. I've tried eras where I learn how to cook or learn how to make cookies and they last one.
Okay. This is actually a question that I did have for you as someone who loves coffee, but also
maybe. Do you have a proper machine? This is a sidebar.
Well, we'll get to it.
Okay.
This is maybe also good for you then, Sarah, too, because it's like, okay, if for someone who really enjoys drinking good coffee, but maybe is intimidated by like, you know, buying a $15,000 good espresso machine setup. What is like one easy tip for someone to go from to like a grab and go style restaurant and getting their morning coffee to maybe doing it at home? Like, what's one or two things that they could add to the routine to make a good cup of coffee at home?
So everyone wants to do espresso because that's the fun part, but that is unfortunately the most expensive part of coffee. Mm-hmm. So if you don't go the espresso route and get yourself an AeroPress for like $40 and then get a grinder to go with it and you're set. So you can get a $100 coffee setup with AeroPress and a hand grinder.
Okay, can you explain what an AeroPress is for people that are dumb like me that don't know what it is?
Whips out my AeroPress. Well, now that you had
a full tutorial. Oh, that would be such an ASMR experience full coffee grinding. Like, we'll have to do that next time for the people that are listening. Okay, so what is an AeroPress?
Yes, an AeroPress is like a 3-in-1 brewer, and you can actually make faux espresso with it, actually.
Okay.
And it's like maybe that tall, so it's not very big. It's very portable. People bring it camping and traveling with them. I've brewed coffee with an AeroPress on an airplane before. Fun fact.
Whoa.
That video was very controversial, but
oh my god, at least you weren't that guy that made shrimp on an airplane. Did you see that?
No.
Oh my god. Damn. This guy that made shrimp in the bathroom of an airplane.
Leave the shrimp at
coffee
on land.
That's a bit much. Yeah. They have coffee on airplanes. If it's already on the airplane, who cares? But this guy made like shrimp and rice in a bag in the bathroom, like you put it in the sink of the airplane, and everyone's like, put them on the no-fly list,
right?
Okay.
Damn, shrimp.
I know.
If I'm doing pour over every morning, should I go would you say go AeroPress?
I'd stick with your pour over. Okay. I love pour overs.
I love
pour overs. But back to your question, the two most important things are good coffee and a good grinder. So as long as you have those two things, you can make great coffee.
So like I get sent all this, like, and you know, and like prayer packages and stuff, like people send you really nice coffee beans from like local coffee shops, all these places. But I don't have a coffee grinder and I don't have a machine that allows me to do that. And I only learned how to use a French press this past year because at my cottage I had no other option. That's how I made coffee. So I have to buy pre-ground thing, you know what I mean? So that's like, I feel like I'm so far behind.
Gotta get a grinder.
I'm so far behind.
Got actually, that Amazon.
I know. I feel like, well, I'm like, I have no space in my counter. What am I going to do? Something's going to have to go if I get a nice coffee machine. Okay. So like if someone, okay, then other than if you were to recommend, like if I'm moving into a new apartment and I go, fresh start, I get to buy whatever machine I want, and I want like good quality coffee. I'm like rivaling like the really good coffee. I'm rivaling your coffee. Ooh,
okay.
What am I getting? What's the setup?
Well, for at home, probably a Breville. Breville Barista Express. Mm. Mm-hmm. It's a solid option. You got that built-in grinder. Eventually, you'll want to upgrade that grinder. But for now,
yeah,
to start off, you're good. And it's under a grand, so you're not breaking the bank there.
That's true.
Or there's the pro consumer levels. You can get like a Rocket. It's about $1,500, but it just depends on how much you're going to spend. I mean, machines are like $5,000.
You know what? Yeah. That seems like a lot of money. But then in the back of my head, it's like if you're going and spending like over $10 a day. That's it.
Okay.
Anyway,
no, dude, any espresso-based drinks have gotten so expensive.
It's insane.
It's insane.
Yeah, at home.
And then when you add in the tip and stuff, like sometimes I leave like an aroma and I've spent $11 on a coffee and I go, how have I done that? Like, what just happened? Did I black out? Yeah. What's your current coffee order?
Iced vanilla latte. I'm a big iced vanilla latte fan. Okay. I'm very basic, but I'm also very picky about my coffee. So if I'm not making it, then it's going to be an iced vanilla latte.
Yeah. Okay. So then like, obviously like if you are doing a pop-up, we want to go to your pop-up, but like where are some coffee shops that do it well, that do it to the Caitlin standard?
Let's go. My favorite coffee shop in the city is probably Found Coffee. So there's one on College and there's one in Trinity Bellwoods, I believe.
Found Coffee.
Okay. It's an Australian coffee shop. So the owner's from Australia, lives here now. So they bring in a lot of Australian coffee and it's super good. The library is pretty good. I think they have three locations, but I could not tell you where.
I've never been to either.
But those are two of my favorites.
Okay, you have become... Did you know much about coffee before jumping into the business?
Honestly, no. I never worked in coffee. I tried to get hired at Starbucks. They wouldn't hire me, so I just started my own company. It's fine.
Out well.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't need them. Started my own company. But no, I went in like completely green.
Wow, and now you're a huge expert.
It feels like you're speaking a different language. And I'm like, no, but like when you were talking about like coffee is culture, right? Like coffee is like, we romanticize coffee. I've had conversations with like friends about this, how it's like it's not even the act of like getting caffeine in my system. It's like I romanticize the act of just drinking a coffee with people, whether it's like with someone or like the type of coffee, you know what I mean?
It's so funny. People go on coffee first dates. Exactly. Often is like a coffee date,
and
right?
It's like the coffee is such an embedded part of culture. And so that's what I think it's so cool, that when you're able to like create a whole business that's like you're like adding to culture, which is like a really cool way to look at it. Do you think like what would be like the next step for you then? Like, do you think like after, like you want like to have like a, what's it called? A brick and mortar eventually, where you'd want to have like full coffee shops. Is that like another step for you maybe?
I mean, that's definitely, it was our big goal when we started. Mm-hmm. We love the whole being mobile right now. We can go anywhere. We're not tied down. I'd love to be just a traveling barista. I just want to go make coffee all over the place. I've been lucky. Like some of the companies I work with, I've been able to travel a little bit, but I just love to travel all over the place. Big goal is a U.S. pop-up, and we have our first U.S. pop-up coming in 2024. So I'm so excited about that.
Are you allowed to share where it is yet, or is it not?
It's going
to
be in North Carolina. But
that's exciting.
Yes. So I'm so excited about that.
Have you noticed that more people are reaching out to you to like start doing pop-ups now that because the world's open and the success of them so far?
Yeah, it's been fun. I'm hoping for a lot more U.S. reach outs so we can do course. U.S. tour. But yeah, we get lots of requests here in Toronto.
So for 2024, I know you said when you were first starting the business, then the pandemic happened, you had to cancel, what was it, like 55
Oh my God.
Spots for this upcoming year then. How many do you think you'll have on the calendar?
I wouldn't be surprised if we do 70 pop-ups this year. We
did 70?
34 last year, and I'm hoping to at least double that.
Wow.
Oh my God, 70. So you're doing more than one a week, right? So
yeah, it's going to be crazy. Our first one right now is January 10th. No, sorry, February 10th.
Okay, and we have a ton of listeners here in Toronto as well. So for anyone who's local, where can they typically find you?
So every Sunday from May to October, we're at Greenwood Park here in Toronto. That's okay. The only one that's locked in right now.
That's close-ish to where the studio is.
Is that an East End? It's an East End activated. We're big East End. Well, and by we, I mean Jacob doesn't shut up about the East End. I love the East End. The studio's the East End. We love the East End. And we'll have to go to like have some good coffee.
It's a big farmer's market. It's a total vibe. It's a vibe. Best waffles there.
Oh. So if you want to romanticize your life,
flowers, waffles.
Oh, look at what a saleswoman. I love it.
What more could you want?
I love it. Would you ever like, we were talking a little bit actually, that was another episode. Sorry. We've talked in the past about like expanding into like product and how like creators do that and stuff. Like, do you think like that's something you'd ever be interested in doing too? Now that you know. So I just feel like you know so much. So it's like I would buy, if you made a Caitlin's coffee kit and it was just like all of your favorite things that were like, and I could ensure that I could make an iced vanilla latte as good as you do, like I would purchase that as a consumer of your like of your content. So like, is that ever something that you've thought about?
Not yet, honestly. Like, we've tried doing some merch and stuff like that, but it's been, you know, we were merch is hard.
Because I did see it was a recent-ish video, I think, that maybe you posted, mm-hmm. where it was the, oh God, I'm going to blank on the brand's name, but it was like a custom kettle that was...
Yes, Brewista.
Brewista with my friend on it, too. I was like, that would be an interesting...
That would be good. And they were asking me, they're like, how many should we make? And I was like, I don't know. One, it's expensive. It's like $170 kettle. So I'm like, true. You know, that price point's up there for people. So I was like, don't make a ton. So they just gifted me like 5.
Oh, that's so cool, though. But I do think, though, it's like... When you've created a community the way you have and when you're authentic the way that you have, it's like people trust your opinion more than ever. So I think it's like if you were saying like, this is the coffee machine that's worth it and it's got my seal of approval, then it's like, then I'd be more willing to than any research I can do on my own.
Right.
You know what I mean? Do you get questions a lot about like at home setups and stuff when you're like at the spot?
My DMs are filled with coffee advice.
How to make coffee.
What equipment can I buy? So I did way back. I did like $500 coffee setup, $1,000 coffee setups.
Oh, I love
that kind of fun stuff.
I love that you're not pretentious about it too, because I feel like most coffee bros are very pretentious. Do you find that it's like weird in that space?
That was the big thing and why I was actually afraid to start making content, because I'm like, I'm not aesthetic. Like, I make a mess when I make coffee.
Yeah, but
I
don't like really everyone care. Does.
But like all these like perfect Instagrams, it's like, you know, aesthetic and like the most expensive setups and
some jazz music playing in the background.
Yeah, right? It's like perfect ASMR. And I'm like, I got the TV in the background when I'm making coffee. Yeah. Like, it's not dead quiet. And like, I'm very blessed with my setup now, but like when I first started, I didn't have a $3,000 espresso machine or anything like that a lot of the coffee bros have. So that was my focus when I started making content. I want to make coffee fun and accessible to anybody. So you don't have to have the fanciest equipment or the most aesthetic kitchen. Just can make good coffee if you have good coffee.
Do you think people relate to that, though? Because I think that probably most people will have the TV on in the background when they're making their morning coffee or something too, right?
Absolutely. And most people aren't buying, you know, $3,000 espresso machines. So definitely.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So so you're doing pop-ups and in-person events, and I've done a couple before, and when you have an audience, you're meeting people in real life and everything, and that all comes together in person, it's one of the most rewarding things, and it's amazing. But I also understand how exhausting it can be, because the mental capacity to be your on self the whole time can be tough, and you're doing that, well, you just said probably 70 times this coming year. What is that like? Like, are you just like mentally exhausted? Like, nobody talked to me at the end of a day serving coffee?
Yeah, absolutely. Sunday evenings, I'm absolutely dead. Definitely take a nap after pop-ups. And we try to make Mondays our day off. Not always very successful at that. Yeah. I work-life balance is hard when you work with your family, because mm-hmm. anytime That's you're true. Together, you just want to talk about work. But yeah, we try to make Mondays our day off. But by the end of pop-up season, like, we only did 34 this year pop-ups.
Still insane.
And we were absolutely like, we're like, we do not want to do another pop-up. Like, we're getting emails, they're like, oh, we want to come here, we're like, absolutely not. No. We are taking the rest of the year off.
Yeah. And we mentioned just a second ago too, off camera, but talking about the kind of, you know, when you have, it's a good problem to have when you have, you know, customers still trying to line up as things are winding down, right, for the day. And it's tough, especially as a business owner, to, you know, draw the boundary, I guess, of, okay, it's time to rest, let's pack mm-hmm. this up, and wanting to, you know, make sure that everyone, like you said earlier, leaves with a smile on their face, got the product, you got to, you know, have an interaction with them. Is it tough to draw the boundary sometimes?
Definitely can be, especially at like pop-ups. We hired our first employee this year, so that was awesome.
Oh, fun.
And she's awesome. She's a really hard worker, and she'll be like, can I go home now? Like, are we done? I'm like, yeah, there's still some more people. I'm sorry. Like, five more drinks. We're almost there. So it's hard from that perspective. Or my dad will be packing up certain parts of the trailer, and like, there's literally people. So at Greenwood Park, it's a giant field, and there's people literally like running across the field. And it's like, oh, okay, we gotta stay open. So it can be hard to balance that. But
is it tough too, because you have a big audience online with a lot of people that probably spend time on your lives, and you know, you feel like you kind of know each other back and forth. You definitely don't want to disappoint people in that sense.
That too,
right?
And then someone goes online and tries to bash you, right? You thankfully that's never happened, knock on wood.
Oh,
but yeah, it's hard having that social following as well. You want to make sure you're always on point.
And where do you put the balance then between, you know, in-person pop-ups, building the brand in terms of the logistics of like getting orders out and that kind of stuff, with, I guess, the content side of things and how much time you mm-hmm. put into producing videos to go out and promote?
Well, especially because it's like two businesses in one now.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, this is the toughest part, because it is two full-time jobs. There's the content, working for brands, and then running my own business. And it's a lot. So kind of what I kind of not even gonna try that word. Mm-hmm. What I tried to decide was that like pop-up season is mainly focused on pop-up season, mm-hmm. and that's just gonna be a sprint for that. And now it's not pop-up season, so I can put more effort into content and more of my time and focus there. So pop-up season, pop-ups come first. Like Saturdays is mm-hmm. all day prep for Sunday pop-ups and all that kind of stuff. So I try to divide it between pop-up season versus content season.
I can relate to like the two full-time jobs thing, because it can be a lot. So if you have like a day off, what are you doing after you've made yourself your morning coffee, which is hilarious that your job is also like something that like most people take as like a relaxing thing. But you get a self-care day to yourself. You don't have anything to do. You don't have to talk work. What are you doing? How are you spending your day?
Probably going shopping with my mom. That's probably it. My mom's like my best friend. Absolutely love her. So if I need to like de-stress, or if I'm going crazy, I'm like, all right, mom, we're going for lunch and we're going shopping.
And are we getting sneakers? Or
100%. Yeah. 100% getting sneakers.
Because you're also a sneakerhead, yeah?
Yes, sir.
I'm always jealous of the collection when I see it in the background or you're showing it off too. Because I'm like, I don't have a big collection at all. I've almost nothing. But I'm like,
I'm a big appreciator
of sneakers too. But it's also tough because I feel like you're an expert in that side of things as well. Maybe we'll ask for another tip, because we asked KJ, right?
Yeah.
Who's also a big sneakerhead, who's on the podcast. But like, one entry level shoe, is that too hard to ask?
Ooh, one entry level shoe. Honestly, the Vomeros.
Set you apart a little, the Vomeros.
Yeah, it's what I'm rocking right now. I'm rocking the Vomeros right now.
Yeah.
It was raining, so I had to select my shoes wisely.
What do you rock on a pop-up day? Like, do you go for style or comfort?
Comfort on pop-up days. I've been rocking these Vomeros. That's why they're wrecked right now. They're covered in coffee. So yeah, Vomeros are super comfy. They stand out a little bit. So
Do you have any custom sneakers that are like of your brand colors, like that purple?
I don't. That's the next dunks thing. Or something custom. I got a pair of purple court dunks that are sweet. Ooh. And I want to find someone to like write Street Brew on them. That's something I want to do.
I actually know of a couple like really cool artists that do like, I've had custom denim and stuff, and you could like, they do like workshops with like Air Force Ones and stuff, and they do like painting and stuff that is really cool. So I think like even like something like that would be really cool if you did like a full custom fit for your pop-up days. I'll connect you. That'd be really cool.
That'd be sick. Love that.
So for our audience who doesn't know who you are, where can they find you? Where can they follow you? And where's the next pop-up that they can find you at?
You can follow me on TikTok, cc.campbell. My Instagram is cc_unsilenced. Also on YouTube, just under my full name, Caitlin Campbell. Next pop-up is going to be February 10th in Toronto, but I can't tell you guys where it is yet.
Well, we'll repost it once.
Sorry, guys.
But that's exciting. You just have to follow if you want to go to the pop-up. February 10th, I'll come to that one.
Yes. It's going to be in Toronto. It's going to be really fun with a really cool brand.
Oh, I love that.
And maybe will there be an AeroPress on site that we can show Sarah?
There will be, and I think we're giving away one of my custom kettles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, my God. Now I have to show up.
A little fun.
I mean, coming into the truck, like, sorry, everyone. I need to learn how to make coffee.
Sarah's hired for the day.
This is
your third job.
I would do that million percent for you at a pop-up. That would be so... The only coffee I used to make was when I worked at a Best Western and made bad drip coffee for the masses for, like, the Rotary Club of Coburg.
Let's step it up a little bit.
I would...
You're hired.
Oh, my God. Wait. No, I'm so
be the
excited.
Perfect vlog.
Okay, well, I have a little pour-over experience. Can I at least, like, put some beans through a grinder?
Talking fast, brewing fast.
Honestly.
I'm into it.
We could do it. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I'm so happy we could finally make this happen to meet in person. I can't wait to go to all your pop-ups and to apparently make coffee in the trailer. It's happening. We said it on the airways.
It's coming.
It's happening. Thank you so much to everyone that listens to our podcast every single week. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews. No negativity here. We're here every single Wednesday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.